and it's before I even knew that we were scheduled to come. So it was months ago, and I had a dream, and tell it real quick, and I just really feel, and I want you guys to receive this prophetically today, okay, because it's for you. I was at the dwelling place, and worship was going on, and it was very awesome and exciting, and we were just getting to the Holy Spirit. And for some reason, I was sitting on the front row in my robe that I wear at home. Does everybody have one of those plushy robes that they like to cozy up in on the couch? Come on, ladies. I know you know what I'm talking about. So I was in my little pink plush robe, and I just stood up with it on, and I was like throwing it off. And I said, "We need to open up." And I just started screaming it and throwing my robe off. "We gotta open up, open up, open up." And then everybody, and like what the worship's been doing, there's been like an opening up, right? There's been like the Spirit. You can just feel the Holy Spirit, that there's a fresh thing here for you guys. For those that you have been here and you have been, you know, just working, prophesying, decreeing in the Spirit, praying, believing God for an outpouring. And so I had this dream for you guys before I even knew that we were scheduled to be here. I'm in the dwelling place, and the Spirit of God breaks out, guys, and miracles break out. Now, listen, I don't know if you're expecting it or not, but what I want you to do is receive that message. Who was here Friday night about childlikeness and believing God like a child? Will you believe Him like a child, that God wants to break out in this place, in this region, with miracles? Which is the other dream I had that I told Patrick and Andrea about last night, that God wants to break out in miracles here. And there were people that were coming that thought they were only going to hear preaching. And then when the miracles started breaking out, they didn't know what to do, because they didn't know that was going to happen that day. So be expectant today. Anything can happen in the presence of the Lord. And I want to give the Lord time to just do that today. I believe that the Lord is going to do miracles for your bodies today. But I want to teach you a little bit about what does opening up look like. What do you mean, God, open up? What does that even mean? What is God even looking for? What is He even expecting us to do, opening up to Him? Okay, so I had this dream. Let me tell this other dream real quick. I got to get this in fast, guys, so I'm going to talk like a mile a minute. Is that okay? Because yeah. I've got 10 minutes. Has anybody heard me preach before? Can I do it in 10 minutes? Yeah. So you know that I need a prayer right now of a miracle. Yeah. Y'all know how long I talk. Please, and ladies, you know how long we talk. Help me out. Okay, here we go. So here we go. 10 minutes. Are you ready? Okay, so I had this dream. It was on May 5th, and in the dream, the heavens were opening up. Rain was pouring out. Has anybody heard me tell this dream about the rain and revival? Okay, it's on my Facebook if you want to go check it out and see all the details. I also did a Facebook Live about it. The heavens opened up. Rain was downpouring, and all of these believers were holding umbrellas, and they were worshiping God. And I mean, not just worshiping, you could feel that it was just opening. It was just open worship. It was like their whole heart was rended open. It was like God was just invading every part of their being, and they were just celebrating and worshiping and praising Him and thanking Him for what He was doing. And then the Spirit of God came on me in the dream. I'm out of breath, so I'm trying to get this fast. Y'all just ignore that part. The Spirit of God came on me in the dream, and I said, this is a sign that God has heard us and that He is bringing revival to America. Now, there's many of you that have been praying with me on Facebook. I've been doing Facebook Live prayer and fasting for months, seeking God and believing Him, not in like begging God, but like, God, I know You. More like I'm giving this up because I know who You are, and I know You're going to come because I know You hear the prayers of Your people, right? We know that He hears us, right? And then He gives us what we ask for because we ask according to His will. Well, what's His will? I think it's pretty easy, right? One of the last things Jesus said is go and preach the gospel, baptizing all in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, go into all the world, go into all the nations. Right? It's really easy to know what He wants. And He is waiting for His harvest to come, but he can't have the harvest until we, the laborers, go out and get it. Right? How are men saved? They hear the preaching of the gospel. They're convicted by Holy Spirit, and then they want salvation. So look, I've got proof of it right here. I got proof that Jesus is literally, you know how Monday was talking about the heavens must receive him, right? Until the restitution of all things. The heavens are holding the Lord. He's staying in heaven until the restitution of all things. I have proof in the word that Jesus is not going to come back until he sees his harvest. You want to know where it is? Say, tell us. Look at your neighbor and say, she's about to tell me the secret. Okay, James 5:7. And Monday and I were talking about this last night. Isn't it good, man? I just found this in the Bible. It just jumped in there. Literally, James 5:7. It says, be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Talking about Jesus coming back. Behold, the husbandman waits for the precious fruit of the earth and has long patience for it until he receive the early and latter rain. Verse 8, be you also patient. I'm reading King James Version, so it's different. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. Well, there it is. James told us, oh, God can wait a long time, guys. He's got some patience to wait for the fruit of the earth. Now get this. I had the dream about rain, right? So I'm prophesying in the dream. God has heard us. This is a sign that he's bringing revival to America. The next part of the dream, I'm speaking to my dad and other people that have sown in the Spirit, that have interceded and asked God to pour out his Spirit. And I'm talking to them, and I'm saying, you're going to have part of this. You're going to receive the fruit. You're going to receive the reward of your suffering. And in the next scene, I'm walking and talking with them, and we go and we surround this garden of strawberries that's a circular garden. And who knows that circle means covenant, like a marriage ring. Okay, circle means covenant. There's a circle garden of strawberries. And strawberries, they were ripe and fruitful, and we know that represents love. But above all that, it just represents fruit. It represents fruit. He waits for the fruit of the earth. I'm prophesying in the dream. God has heard us. He's going to bring revival. Then I'm looking at a covenant fruit, a covenant fruit, a covenant fruit. It's the fruit of his covenant. It's the fruit of what he did. It's the fruit of the cross. It's the fruit of what he paid for, Jesus' blood on the cross. It's his reward. It's his suffering. He will receive the reward of his suffering. Now look at what verse 17 says about Elijah. You guys know this. It says, Elijah was a man subject to like passions as we are. And he prayed earnestly that it might not rain. And it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And verse 18 is the one I really like. Verse 18 says, and he prayed again. Some of y'all got tired. Stop praying. I think it's time to pray again. And the heaven gave what? Rain. Then what happened? The earth brought forth its fruit. Oh, I don't know if you heard me. And he prayed again. The heaven gave rain. And the earth brought forth her fruit. What's the fruit? Souls. You guys know that. Okay, how are we going to get them? Jesus said, pray to the Lord of the harvest, that he would send forth laborers into the harvest. What is God's mission, guys? His mission is the lost. He said he'd leave the 99 to go get the one. And I want our focus to get back there, because if we really want Jesus to come back, we better go get some souls, because he ain't even moving until he sees his harvest come in. So we can say Jesus come back all day long, and he'd be like, well, I'm ready to come back whenever you guys are ready to reap my harvest that I told you to reap, I don't know, 2,000 years ago? I mean, y'all are kind of slow. Every day, day in, day out, open up to Holy Spirit. Will you open up your life to him? Why should you? Why should you open up your life? Why can't you just live your life for yourself and do whatever you want to do and just kind of let God in a little bit on Sunday? Why should you open up your entire life to God? I'll tell you why you're not going to be happy till you do. I'll tell you why. Genesis 1 says we are created in the image of God, that we actually came forth from him, that without him we can't even be happy. Before him there was nothing made that was made. In him we live and move and have our being. We can have no satisfaction in ourselves. You can run after everything you want to run after and think that's going to bring you happiness, and I'm telling you that nothing will satisfy you except the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost. Well, how do I open up to him? I feel shut down. I feel, well, I'm going to help you. I'm going to help you today. I'm going to help you open up. And you're going to receive impartation of the atmosphere today. God's going to do that for you. And you're going to be able to open up to the Lord in every area of your life. You were created by him. Colossians 1:16 says you were created by him. And here's the best part. For him. For him. What's my purpose? What's my purpose? What's my calling, Lord? What am I here to do? What am I here to do? You're here for him. It's real simple. It's not complicated. It's the simplicity of Christ in you, the hope of glory, his glorious Holy Spirit living with you, in you, so that he can make his tabernacle with men. His whole mission was to get in you and to live in you and for you to be his very expressed image. We were created through him and for him. Now in Genesis 1:27, when it talks about we were created in the image of God, image means to shade, like a shadow. We're his shadow. Just think about that for a minute. Image means we're his representative figure. We are the representative figure of God. How many people feel like they're not equal with God? They have no place. They are not on the same platform with the Lord. They feel so below him that it's not even funny. You feel like the scum of the earth. You feel shameful. You feel like you've messed up too much. And that's not the way he looks at us. Once he sent his son to forgive you and cleanse you by the blood of Jesus, something happened to your spirit, man. You became a new creation. And then what happens in you is the power of the Holy Spirit actually gives you power above the desire for sin. The power of the Holy Spirit in you will actually make you rise above the desire for sin. It's grace. See, grace teaches us not to sin. So there's no excuse for living in sin, is there? There's no excuse for living in sin because we have power over sin. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. Did you know that's in there? It's in there. Wow. He you made me free from the law of sin and death. I am above all of my circumstances. I am above every name that is named, because the name of Jesus is inside of me. I am his expressed image in the earth. My words are power and life, just like Jesus Christ. My words are spirit and life. And when I speak to things are going to divide off of you. That's why sickness has to go. That's why demons have to go. That's why everything that is under Jesus Christ has to get out. And if your circumstances are not lining up with what you know it should look like, that's because you've got to stand up and say, I am the expressed image of God in the earth. I have authority over my life and my situation, and no storm is going to eradicate me again. No storm is going to annihilate my life. No storm is going to steal and kill and destroy me anymore. I am tired of the church being run over. God is tired of the church being weak and not rising up in who they are. Not as in an anger way, but as in righteous indignation against the enemy's ploys and his lies and his plots to undermine you. That's why we've got to renew our mind in the Word of God. You've got to read it. You've got to read it. It's your mirror. It's who you are. I don't care what the life says you are. This says it's who you are. Now look, Jeremiah 1:5. Before he formed you. Who knows it? Come on. In the belly, he knew you. He called you. He sanctified you. And he called you to the nations. He ordained you a prophet to the nations. Did you know you can do this? We don't just have to just stay here in our little city and stuff. Look, he gave me permission. Listen, when God gives me permission in the Word, I take it. That's mine. He loves that. He loves your faith like a little child. This is like being like a little child. You grab it and you say, that's mine. I don't need 20 prophetic words to tell me to go to the nations. I've got one from the Word of my God. Why do we need a man's word when we got God's word right there? But we got to be encouraged, because we don't believe God's word enough to take hold of it and run with it like faith and be on fire. I mean, Jesus didn't need a bunch of prophetic words to know who he was. I'm sorry, I need a calm down. Oh, we got to close right now. Oh, God. God only got to know one. Y'all are going to... Okay, let's move on. Isaiah 55:11 says, so is the word that goes forth out of my mouth shall not return unto me void. It shall accomplish what I desire, and shall achieve the purpose for which I sent it. Now let me ask you something. How were you created? But how? Ah, did God speak you into existence? Did God have to speak you, or did you just like pop out of the air or something? Didn't he create the worlds with his word? Didn't he speak it? We know the worlds were fashioned by the word of God. He had to say it, let there be. So somewhere in there was a let there be you. And he looked at you in his hand. And then he went, so is the word that goes forth out of my mouth. It will achieve the purpose for which I sent it. It will accomplish what I desire for it to do. You are birthed from the word of God. So when you go out, you will achieve the purposes for God that he established over your life, that he prophesied over your life, that he spoke. He spoke your calling into you when you were birthed from the very mouth of God. That it cannot not happen. It can't not happen. I don't care what else is happening. I don't care. I don't care. I don't care. I don't care. His name is above every other name that can be named. Every knee will bow. Every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Now, Romans, you don't even have time to keep up with me back there. I'm sorry. I'm going too fast, so I'm sorry. Romans 11:29. I know you guys know this, for the gifts and calling of God are without repentance. The gifts and calling of God are without repentance. What does that mean? It means you can't turn away from it. Oh, it's going to chase you. Oh, it's going to hunt you down. Oh, it's going to follow you around like a little puppy dog. It's your little shadow, so I hope you get used to your gifts and calling. Because it's not leaving. So many people think, oh, I missed it, and I got to know. And I'm telling you, it's going to make itself known to you because it's irrevocable. Whew. How am I doing? I got to go faster. Got to go faster. Okay. There's so much I got to tell you. So much. Where does God want you to open up? He wants you to open up every single place in your life, not one thing hidden. He wants no hidden parts. He wants your inward parts. He desires to know truth in the inward parts. He desires your finances. He desires your family. He desires your home. He desires your car. He wants to be led into every little thing, your schedule, getting to work on time, every little single thing. And he cares about it. He cares about the every little single thing because he cares about you. And he's so excited about being a blessing to you that if we'll just open up to him, we will just be living in such a blessing of God. We won't even know what to do. It'll be like the windows of heaven are open over our life and we don't even have room enough to receive it. And there's just so much goodness and I've got to give it away because I don't have enough room for it. Come on, isn't that exciting? You know, that's for you. The only reason that we don't live in it is because we don't believe it and we've pushed it out by our unbelief. We've pushed it out. How many times did Jesus, when people got miracles, they got it because he said, your faith has made you whole. Don't tell me there's not something about crazy faith. Don't tell me that's not pride and like I'm rising up above who I'm supposed to be. No, I'm rising up and being exactly who I'm supposed to be. I'm not supposed to be a little weak thing. God, I pray that you might hear me and that you would do this. And God, if you're willing to do this, don't even tell me that that's what God wants to hear. Let me tell you a story. This is not funny. Why are you laughing? Woo! I've got 5 minutes. Oh, God. Help me, Jesus. You need an organ. Yes. It's Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Colossians 1:27. Christ is in you. Glory is in you. You don't have to seek it from above. You don't have to pull it up from beneath. Christ is inside of you. You don't have to call down fire from heaven. You can just release glory out of your belly. Out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. Colossians 1:14 says, in whom, talking about Jesus, we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sin. Well, you're almost on time. There you go. I'm too fast for you. I'm sorry. Doing good. Colossians 1:15 says, who is the what? Image. There's that word again. I like that word. Remember, image means to shade, a representative figure. It means a shadow of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. Jesus is the image of God. Jesus is on in the inside of me. Must mean I'm in the image of God. It's very simple. I'm God's shadow. Oh, remember that story about Peter's shadow healing people? Maybe there was something deeper to that that we didn't know. His image, God's image, and Peter healed people. Woo! I am going to see people healed by my shadow. Come on, we need to start saying stuff like this. I'm tired of our little, well, I didn't get 20 prophetic words that my shadow's going to heal people, so I can't go around prophesying that over myself. You're wanted. God wants you. He wants to give it to you. And you got to know it. And you got to stop going back and forth, tossed by every wind of doctrine. You got to stop rocking back and forth on the stormy seas. You just got to get like grounded and rooted in faith, and that's it. There's nothing else. Listen, they can't not be healed because that's who he is. They can't not be healed. It confuses me if somebody doesn't get healed. It doesn't make any sense. Right? No, we're the other way. We're shocked if somebody gets healed. It needs to stop. I'm not yelling at y'all. I hope you don't feel that I'm yelling. There's my mother heart coming back. Lioness left for a minute. Mommy lying back. I'm so sorry. I'm not trying to hurt y'all in any way. Please know it. He's gentle and loving. But he's a lion and a lamb. So I think he's okay with being a little on fire. I mean, he did baptize us with the fire of the Holy Ghost. And it's got to look like something, right? My God. So what does God want us to do? He wants us to open up. He gives me this dream. Because he's got a desire for something. He's got a desire for something. And the more you'll open up to him, the more the person of the Holy Spirit can come and consume you, baptize you, wreck your life, and take you out and see everybody else wrecked too. It's really simple. To see them delivered, set free, healed, everything. Everything that separates them from the goodness of God, everything that has broken them, God wants to heal it. He wants to fix it. That's just what it is. And when you lay your hands on people and when you pray for them, it's going to happen. Because Holy Ghost is in you and he can't not do it. He is waiting to do it. He's like a little kid, you know, waiting to get on the ride. You know, just excited, can't wait, can't stand it. Just got to get it, got to get in there. Got to do it. Got to jump on. Don't even hold him back. Don't hold him back. He's not pleased with those that draw back. He loves it when you run after him like a little child, believing he will do every miracle, believing he will do everything that's possible. He loves it. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Let me tell you a story, and then we're going to pray. The heavens are going to open. See, when we open up to him, the heavens are going to open to us. It's very simple. When we open to him, we're opening heaven. Heaven here. We're opening heaven that's coming out in the earth. I'm opening me. I'm not holding me back. I'm not holding Holy Spirit back in me. And then he goes out to the person that I'm talking to. He's going out to that person, delivering them, setting them free, because I'm opening up and I'm not holding back. Please don't hold back. Please, please don't hold back from the Lord. He's only trying to help you. And he's only trying to help these people out here. Don't be scared of failure. Don't be scared of mistakes. Don't be scared of messing up, because he's glad that you even tried. And if you miss a word, so what? They're not going to die for it. They'll be okay. You're not going to emotionally traumatize them, then they have to go to a bunch of therapy. Well, seriously. Don't be scared to give words. We're too scared. We've got to let the faith of God rise up on the inside. Okay, I got to focus. Let me tell you a story. This is really going to encourage you, and then we're going to pray, okay? Luke 18. Phew, how am I doing? Doing good? All right. Woo! God's helping me breathe, because I'm telling you, I'm talking faster than a, give me a joke, man. Come on. I'm talking faster than a what? A hyena laughs or something. What? I'm talking faster than a child on coffee. I'm talking faster than that squirrel on that movie when he drank a bunch of coffee. Remember that little squirrel in that movie? Yeah. I don't even know how I'm breathing right now. Does anybody know where Luke is? Look, not your baby, but a Bible. Here it is. And finally, I tell you, when you get full of the Holy Spirit, you can barely read sometimes. I don't know if this happens to y'all, but this happens to me. But I like to read the Word with the Holy Spirit. I like that. That's fun. Okay, Luke 18. This is the story about a widow. And this story Jesus told. So I want you to keep that in mind when you hear this story. Remember that Jesus is telling the story. So when he tells a story, he must have a point to make, right? Okay, chapter 18 of Luke. And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint, saying, there was in a city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that city, and she came to him, saying, avenge me of mine adversary. Get justice for me from my adversary. And he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, though I do not fear God nor regard man, yet because this widow troubles me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming, say continual coming, weary me. Lest by her continual coming, weary me. Now what does the next verse say? And the Lord said, here's Jesus talking. Hear what the unjust judge said. And will not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? Look what Jesus said. That's Jesus' words. Guys, Jesus said that. Jesus. Will not God avenge his very own chosen elect who cry to him day and night? Then what does he say? Verse 8, I tell you, he will avenge them speedily. Say speedily. Speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? Why is he telling this story? What's it have to do with faith? Because somebody that really believes God will continually come until he answers, because we know that he will answer, because I know that he hears me, and I know that he'll give me what I ask, because I know I pray according to his will. Woo, I hope somebody's getting fired up and encouraged today. Oh, there's going to be a whole new level of faith on your prayers. I'm telling you right now. You're going to have impartation right now in the Holy Spirit. When you pray, you know it's happening. It's not going to be that I hope thing anymore. It's I know. I know. I know that God's going to do this. Yes. Come on. So here's what I want to ask you to do with me right now for the next couple minutes. If we can have some music, and if everybody will just prepare your hearts and stand up, here's what we're going to do. God told me last night that it's time to ask for the latter rain. He told me. I'm not just thinking of some nice little thing to say. God said to me last night, it's time to ask for the latter rain. Because you know why? James 5. He waits for it. He's waiting for the fruit of the earth. And the fruit of the earth will not come until the early and the latter rain pour out together. And what's it say in Zechariah? Ask me. Didn't he say it? Ask me for the latter rain. Ask me for the rain. Ask me for the rain. It's not hard. Ask me for the rain. And we're just going to ask him for that rain right now to pour over this city and this region and every place that you go to and everywhere that you set your foot. And you're going to open up and you're going to let this rain pour into you today. And you're going to let this rain pour out from your life. And you're going to let this rain pour in every area of your life, because it's time for us not to be dry anymore. It's time for the living water. God, we ask for the rain. Holy Spirit. Lord, I'm just doing what you told me to do. God, I'm just preaching what you told me to preach. You told me, Lord, that you want us to open up. You want us to believe you for greater. You want us to step into the fullness of Christ, of who we are. And Lord, we step into that right now by authority of Jesus Christ in us. And Lord, let your faith, God, just come fresh today. The spirit of faith in Christ Jesus, Lord, that would baptize people today. Just receive that right now. Just put your hands out and just, if you feel like crying, you could cry and you just open up, whoever you are and wherever you're at in your life, and you just open it up, and you open up the pain and you open up the brokenness, and you just let them in to every part, everything you're dealing with. You just let them in and you let them share it with you.